And the following Monday, we had a cleanup day at the church. And at the church, or the Saturday, Tony Rouse showed up with his little hard hat. And all four of his boys showed up with a hard hat. I thought, what are these guys? What are they on? Are they on some kind of a religious steroid? What's the deal? They were devoted. Can everybody hear that word? Devoted? I mean, they were like really devoted. Tony took me to Oral Roberts University and quite the man. And after a few years, he went back to the Catholic Church. What we really want is for the Lord to have his will. Amen. Do you remember when they said to Jesus was talking to Peter, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. He said, the time is going to come where you can't even take care of yourself. You're going to be led along, suggesting what type of death he would have. And Peter said, well, what about the Catholics? What about the Lutherans? And what did Jesus say? Never mind that. Never mind that. You do what? You follow me. Wouldn't that be something if we could let go of everybody and just say, Lord, I'm going to try to follow those milk cows. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for others. I'm the one who needs to be led. I'm the one with imperfections. And I pray for brothers and sisters and for the lost, wherever they may be. Are you having a good time? And Pat was raised, I don't know anything about turning pigs, and I don't know anything about the Catholic Church, other than I have tons of story about the Earthling Center. Pat was telling me he was raised in Colorado, right?
Denver, Colorado.
And your whole family was...
Well, my grandmother is from Ireland. My mom was firstborn here in the United States. I came from an Irish Catholic family, and when I voted for Nixon, I just was...
When you voted for Nixon, you were out, huh?
I was ostracized.
36 million Irish Catholics in the United States, I saw, just for
I
your
think
sake.
I'm related to about half of them.
Yeah, and I didn't even know he was Irish. That explained, that we figured that out there.
Yeah, me and Ulysses.
Yes, and Pat, I'm not going to go through everything here. I want to just show you this. I wanted to put skin on what I'm trying to say this morning. Here's a man and his family, and he did all the stuff. You telling me stories, and we want to not pick on anything or anything that goes on. Pat would tell me the stuff that they really meant serious about everything in the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah,
and there was no messing around in your church attendance.
No, well, no, because if you missed Mass on Sunday, that was a mortal sin. You went to hell. If you ate meat on Friday, that was a mortal sin. You went to hell. They always ask me, are you going to go to heaven? I could never remember whether I'd done something the last week that they used to ask me if I was going to make it, and I said, if I can die between the confessional and the front door, I might make it, because if I get to my car, there's no hope.
The concept was that you just... You weren't ever good enough.
You can't keep up with the rules. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, I'm not that smart, so I couldn't. I just couldn't remember all of them. I remember my first, the first time that I had a problem with the Catholic Church, I was about 6 or 7. My brother and I were going to make our first communion, and he was 5. And I'll never forget it. He stopped at the drinking fountain on our way in and took a swallow of water. And they wouldn't let him make his first communion because he drank water before that. And I was only 6 or 7 years. I was 7, I guess. And even at 7, I knew that was not right. And I sat there and I thought to myself, would Jesus Christ do that, embarrass my mother and my family and my little brother in front of a church? I don't think so. And I was 7 years old thinking that. That's where I first started trying to put 2 and 2, kept coming up 5. And I was, something's wrong.
And in Great Falls, Pat involved in many different things, but and we don't have time to go into all of them. I just want you to tell them how the one day that you decided that was enough, and you weren't at church, you were in your own house.
Oh, I had a car dealership. I was in partners with a friend of mine, and I'd been living with a girl for a while. I was divorced, and I met a girl on a blind date. In fact, I've been married to her for 40 years.
She's still blind, huh?
She's still blind. Yeah, I killed the dog, so she has to stay with me. But anyhow, I was sitting in my office, and I was looking out, and I was thinking to myself, I thought, you know, if this is what life's all about, somebody's playing a big joke on us. I said, because this is not working. And I went home, and I had a house up on 7th Avenue South and 52nd Street. And I went home, and I was sitting in the kitchen, and I thought, I got to do something. I got up, and I walked into the living room, and I was all alone, and I knelt down. It still gets to me. It's 40 years ago, and I still, I'll never forget it. I knelt down, and I just said, if there's a God in heaven, change my life. I can't hardly talk about it, because he changed my life. He changed it 180 degrees. I never thought about it too much prior to that. But after I got up from my knees, and I just knew something was different, and I didn't know what it was. Catholics don't. I never quite understood how salvation was, how you got salvation in the Catholic Church. I don't know whether it's from baptism or going to confession and then dropping dead when you get out the door, but I didn't know for sure. But I knew in my heart, I started reading the Bible when I was 40 years old. I never read it before because we weren't supposed to read it. The priest would read it and tell us what it said. Well, I started reading, and I told my wife, I can't believe that this has been sitting here in front of me for all my life, and I never read it. But in John 13, verse 34 and 35, if you read that, it says we're supposed to love one another. I didn't see anywhere in there that said, unless he's a Catholic, unless he's a Methodist, unless he's a Lutheran, then you don't have to, but he said, love one another. And if you do that, everything else takes care of itself.
This will be my disciples if you love one another. And
then you'll know.
You'll know that you're disciples if you have love one for another.
Right.
They'll know they're just having a bad hair day and you're mad as heck if you really can't say or relate to people. Huh? Fast forward to... And very quickly here, because I can see they're getting hungry, and it's my fault. But all went through all this stuff, and now you have a home study, and you had it.
I have a Bible study at my house
for years,
which is an interesting Bible study. We have one Lutheran, one Baptist, one Catholic, and three ex-Catholics. Three ex-Catholics. Two ex-Catholics and one that's, he's not sure what he's doing. But we have some interesting discussions. You know, and we're doing Romans right now. It took us 2 years to do Matthew because you get through, our discussions turn into lengthy discussions. I mean, it's not like sit on a chit-chat about something. We get into some real, I wouldn't say arguments, but there's some of these guys are pretty.
But they can they come back though.
Oh, absolutely. We've been for 5 years, 6 years.
That's my point. Is you found the way to relate,
Right.
Even though you disagree, even though we disagree,
that's right,
sometimes, we can still relate. Amen? We can still talk. We don't have to walk on the other side of the street. We can be nice. We can say civil things. We can pray for people instead of pray upon people. Would you write that down? I thought that up, sliding up Roger's pass, yeah.
You know, if you want to sell something to someone, you don't go up and offend them right off the get-go to get their attention. That's not going to work. You know, and when we talk to people about the Lord, it's a matter of sales is a transfer of feelings. You transfer how you feel about a certain thing to someone else. And I've been in sales since I was 13 years old, and I'm way past that now. See, I'll be 79 here pretty quick. And I got to tell you, you don't make a sale by getting... If somebody wants to buy a Lexus and they come in driving in a Chevrolet, you don't tell them what an idiot they were for buying the Chevrolet. you know, that doesn't work. It just flat doesn't work. So don't offend... If you're going to talk to somebody about Christ, don't assume that they don't know who Christ is. And don't assume that they don't know something about the Lord just because they're a different religion.
One of the last things that before you're dismissed, one of the last things you were telling me just Saturday. See, he called me up Friday night and texted me. You didn't even. You said, let's do what?
Go have coffee.
A little louder so that the
audience, go have coffee.
Yeah, he texted me Friday night. And the minute he did that, I knew because of a previous thing what God was up to, but I didn't tell him right away. And that's why I asked him if he could come and share today. Because he had shared, because God had provided something for us this morning. This young man.
Yeah.
We were young at one time. It was right. God's idea that Pat share, because he's been there. And the last thing I want you to tell me is what you told me yesterday. You're talking about your mother and her devotedness to the Lord. And
I said that if my mother loved Jesus Christ, she was a devout Catholic. She was born. She went to Mass every week. But she loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart. And if she isn't in heaven, you don't plan on making it.
Yeah, don't take it personal, but he's saying if his mother's not in heaven, don't hold out.
I gave up trying to I figured when I heard that I was going to go to hell for eating meat on Friday, I was in deep trouble because that was as far as I could get.
What I'm trying to say is they're not only our Christians down the street. But there are tellers and there are robbers, and we need to do everything we can. Tellers and robbers in our own experiences. We need to do what we can. Somebody, you have a book that looks like a Bible. Just turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 and be ready to read. And that was my heart, was that I was very impacted. Being raised down the street from the Earthen Center at Central Assembly, there was no relating with the Catholics at all. No relating at all. And I didn't know what they'd done wrong, but whatever it was, you know, that I'm sorry about that. And then end up going there and starting our youth group. Is Renee still here? Yeah, way back. 79, we started in the Earthen Center, of all places. And I've told you this before, scary statues. I'm telling you. And they look right at you when you walk. I'd never been around statues or this or beads and that and the other thing. We started youth group in that 1979 in the Ursuline Center. Then just after that, we went to Calvary Temple in that place. Today, Oppentau, you've heard the word, it's a retreat ministry. Which has been going on for what, Deanna? Many, many, many years. 160 some Oppentows. Everybody's, I think, in the back row, the backsliders back there. You've all been to it. They hold it at the Ursuline Center. You stay here for this last one because you might have to help me. You've heard this before right here. I've told you this before. When I was a sophomore at CMR, basketball team, I was on the sophomore team. Well, that made me mad from the beginning because I was better than that. You know what I'm saying? I was better than to be on a sophomore team when I was a sophomore, and I couldn't get the coach to understand it. So I was kind of I was in a twit anyhow. We had a coach who was coaching the sophomore squad at CMR that year, 1968, by the name of Ackerman. He talked like this. From this town. All right, which one of you turned him into the way he was? Ted Ackerman, Sr. Haynes, what are you doing? He sounded like a gravel truck with square wheels. You pass the ball. You have to take every shot. Anyhow, being a born-again believer, being filled with the Spirit when I was 7, whatever, I had never taken the Lord's name in vain. Now, I had said a few of those sidebar words. Said one recently, and then looked around to see who heard it. Where'd that come from? I had never taken the Lord's name in vain, and it was just a practice, and I got this center who could not hold on to the ball. And we were running through drills, and I'm the point guard. I'm in charge. You know what I'm saying here? I'm in charge. And finally I threw the ball, and it went through his hand. And for the first time in my life, and I know why I said it, because everybody around me talks this way, the vernacular. I mean, it isn't like I said, okay, I'm going to finally swear a big one. I'm going to finally let go of a big one here. It wasn't that at all. It was a vernacular of the basketball team. Anything good happens, you swear. Anything bad happens, you swear. And so out of my mouth at a practice session, when we were just standing around the team, we were trying to get a play up, Pat, out of my mouth for the first time in my life, I said, Jesus Christ. What was his name? Tom, whatever his name was. Hang on to the ball. I had never said that in my life, ever. And I said it like that, and you could hear it all through the gym. And just like a slap down from heaven, Ted Ackerman, Sr., a devout Catholic from down the street. Everybody's swearing. He's without a breath going by. Haynes, you're talking about the Lord Jesus, who's my Savior, Jesus. You're going to talk like that, go home. I had never heard a religious word out of his mouth ever. I had heard a bunch of sidebars, a bunch of them. But the minute I mentioned Jesus Christ, don't talk about my Savior that way. And he filled the gym with it. I thought, crying out loud, I can't get away with it one time without the Spirit of the living God speaking through a Ted Ackerman Sr. saying, no, don't talk that way. That came from a Catholic down the street. What's the point? The point is, stand and read us the point, if you would, nice and loud, please. Okay, that's close, but it's what did I tell you to read? That was a good one.
4:7? I'm pretty sure you said
that. I probably did. I need to hear the tape. I want to have an instant replay here. 13:4-7. It has something to do with love. Oh, okay. Now we're not going to get out of it this easy. You tell them nice and slowly. Love is?
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not. It is not. It does not.
Love never fails. This is what God wants for us. A self-control, a setting of our spirits, a setting, the brokenness even of our own fellowship, of our own community, of the people who used to sit here. We need to walk in decent and in order. We need to do the right thing, and we need to do a good job of it. Church starts at 10, we start at 10. I'm not picking on those that got here late. Exactly. Not. God's called us to do things decently and in order. That's the way things continue. That's how perpetuate. Sustain. He's called us also to walk in love. To set ourselves back and say we will love the robber, the teller. We will follow where the Holy Spirit leads us. Will the Holy Spirit ever lead us contrary to the Word of God? No. Never. I don't care who says otherwise. The Holy Spirit will lead us into truth. But we need to heal up. 2018, we need to heal. Inside, in our community, we need our community. Hello? We do. That's who these other chairs are for. We have a lot of people here from Great Falls. God bless you. We'll start a bus line. But this church is for this community. And we don't need to be anxious over it. We just need to give it to the Lord and walk in love and walk decently and in order. And every opportunity that we get to minister to our community. Well, it would be terrible if people got saved and went to another church, wouldn't it? Say, hey, wait a minute. You got saved here and you went to that church? That's the type of thing that the Holy Spirit does, to take envy out of your heart and self-centeredness out of your heart. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters in our community. In 2018, let's just anticipate just what the angel said to Mary. For with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. And he does not have you. You are free. You may be on the edge. You may be fighting a battle, but he doesn't have you. The Holy Spirit, you are a child of God. Matt's coming at this time, if you will, Matt, to lead us in communion. Pastor Matt.